What if I were to tell you that the lesson from the Word of God that we will be hearing just in a few moments will provide for every one of you if you will accept it, if you will take part in it? It's going to provide for you wonderful, wonderful happiness in this life. What if I were to tell you further that if we give strict attention to the few verses of Scripture that we will be reading just in a moment, will contribute to your eternal salvation in heaven? And then, what if I were to tell you that the instructions that we are going to receive from the Word of God just within seconds, that it is very, very likely to contribute to the healing of our nation if we just put it into practice? Well, you say, Brother Gene, those are some mighty high claims, and I hope that you are able to convince us that that is so. But I want to remind you that while I always pray, and I always have it as my aim to declare the Word of God to you just as simply and just as forcefully as I can, all of these things that I have claimed, every single one that I have named, your happiness here on earth, helping you so that you can obtain that goal of eternal life in heaven itself and contribute to the healing of our nation. It is true because it comes from the Word of God. Well, where shall we turn? If you would look at Galatians, the third chapter, there is such a wonderful statement that is made here having to do with our being the children of God. And this is the way those scriptures read, beginning in Galatians 3, verse 26 through the end of the chapter. The Apostle Paul declares to the Christians of Galatian churches, "For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Oh, how wonderful, how important. Then, 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." I want to direct your thinking especially to the phrase that is found in verse 29-28. "You are all one in Christ Jesus." What does that mean to Christians? What does that mean to those who have been saved by faith in Christ, because that faith has led them to be baptized in order that they might put on Christ? Very, very important scriptures that I believe not only should all men know, but also one in which we can take hope. Because the Apostle says that this does such a wonderful, wonderful thing for people that live across the world, no matter where they are. He says, when one exhibits that faith by being baptized and putting on Christ, every single earthly distinction is put in the background. As a matter of fact, it fades away. There is no distinction as far as social background, slave or free. It does not matter. There is no distinction that is made as to whether you are a man or whether you are a woman, whether you are a young lady or whether you are a young man. If you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ, and that means that we are all one family in the Lord. There's no such thing as any distinction whatsoever. Well, how does that oneness come about? I think that is worth our while, first of all, to think about what provisions has God made in order to take people who, well, they're so diverse, aren't they? Whenever you have the opportunity, if such is the case, to go to Japan, unless you've been studying that language, I'll tell you, they're strange folks. They're strange folks. They don't even talk the way that we talk. And the food that they eat, ooh, some of it you're going to say, I have a hard time swallowing that. Well, you say, no, Brother Tope, I want to go to Africa. Oh, boy, are you in for a surprise. Do you like Mapani worms? What? The first time I was invited to eat Mapani worms, I have to tell you, my stomach rebelled. I was not at all thrilled with that kind of a feast. Well, some folks say, I tell you, what you ought to do is you ought to live in the deep south, because you know we have such fine food here. You try to introduce some of those things to people in Arizona and Nevada, and you see what kind of response you're going to have. This old world is sadly divided. We are sadly divided according to race. We are sadly divided according to our gender. We are sadly divided concerning the rich and the poor. And almost every day, these are the things that the news is putting emphasis on, and we almost are in despair. But do you know God has made it possible where every one of those distinctions have been done away with? And if you go to Africa, or if you go to South America, or if you go to Japan, you know what? You will find New Testament Christians there. You're going to find these folks who believe what Galatians chapter 3 said, we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And every one of those New Testament Christians have been baptized in order that they might put on Christ. And you know what? That has made us heirs of God, and that has made us heirs of our father Abraham, because we are all one family. We are all one in Christ Jesus. How did God make that possible? Well, I think, as you think along with me, you will say, well, Brother Tope, I know one reason why that is so. It is because we all worship the one true God of heaven. How important is that? Here we have met this morning. Well, what have we met for? In order that we might be separated into races? Well, not a bit of it. Well, have we met this morning so that we could compliment someone as to how finely dressed they are? Not a bit of it. We have only had one purpose in meeting this morning, and that is in order that we might worship the true God of heaven and give praise to His Son, Jesus Christ. There's only one God. There's only one God. There are not many gods. We know again the confusion that is in the world today, because someone will say, I'm worshiping this God and I am worshiping Him in this way. And someone else will say, oh no, you can't be a part of us now. You can't be one with us because this is the true God. How are we going to know? Well, we look to the Bible. One God, one Savior, Jesus Christ, that we worship. And you know there's only one real book that we can turn to. We have not come here in order that we might listen to the writings of men. No matter how great or how good those men may have been, they're only human. But whenever we want to know the truth that is able to make us free, what do? We say, brethren, we've come this morning in honor to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're looking at that one book. Well, now, if we have one God and we have one Savior, Jesus Christ, and we have one book that we're all trying to follow, what does that make us? Oh, we are all one in Christ Jesus. But further, as our text has pointed out, there's only one baptism. It is not something that the person does because they are already saved. It is something that we do in order that we might put on Christ. Isn't Galatians 3 and verse 27 so clear, so easy to understand? You cannot be one in Christ Jesus if you say, well, I've read that passage, but I don't think that's right. I put on Christ long, long before I was baptized. No, that won't work, will it, dear friend? We become one in Christ Jesus, the same Heavenly Father, the same Savior, Jesus Christ, the same book, the Bible, and 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body. What is that? Well, whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, I'm going to change my life around. I'm going to repent of the wrong and start doing right. And I'm ready to be baptized. Whenever I go down into the waters of baptism, I'm going to put on Jesus Christ. And that is going to put me into the one body. We all have the same heritage. The 29th verse of our text says, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you know that everyone that is in this one body, they're not going to receive $1 million as their inheritance? It does not have to do with anything material. The greatest inheritance that could be imagined is to be found in that hope that every single Christian, every single one that has put on Christ, it's the hope of heaven. That's our inheritance. Let's review. How does God make it possible for you, no matter what your race is, no matter whether you're male or female, no matter whether you are slave or free, how does God do that? Those in the one body all worship the same God. They have the one Savior, Jesus Christ. We just follow the Bible. That means that we may have to do a lot of changing in our life. But whenever we read the New Testament commandments, when we see the New Testament example of how Christians worship God, and we say, that's what I want to be, the one baptism. And so finally, you say, Brother Gene, why didn't you just go ahead and turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in the first place? So I'm going to do it right now. And this, starting with Ephesians 4 and verse 3, the apostle says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You know who we are here at Courthouse. And I just want to take a moment to tell you how blessed Betty and I feel to be a part of you. It took us a lot of years before we came back to Richmond. It took us a lot of years before we were able to begin meeting with the little group that met back in what is now our classroom addition. But it's not dependent on where we meet. It is the fact that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, what is that all about? Well, what it is all about is there is a second very, very vital thing in order that you can have this happiness that I spoke of, in order that you can have that hope of heaven, and in order that you may help your friends outside. You have to make an effort in order to maintain the oneness that is in the church. You have to make an effort. Here we're in Ephesians 4. So I want to read now the first three verses again. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This oneness, then, does not come about, and it cannot be maintained unless those that are in the one body, the ones that worship the one God, their Savior Jesus Christ, and follow the Bible. It has to be maintained. It has to be worked at. The New Testament has some things to say that are very, very instructive And I think one of the first things that we are given instruction about concerning this oneness is what the religious world is not only going to scoff at, but they are going to say, it's impossible. Look at 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. We will read verse 10 and then make a comment about the oneness that is in Christ that is to be maintained. The apostle again, directing his writing to Christians in Corinth, said, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How do we maintain the oneness that God has provided for? Well, we all have to speak the same thing. There are to be no discordant voices among us. We are to be of the same mind and of the same judgment. And here's the enemy. Here's the enemy. He has been directed by the devil to say, now come off of it. You be realistic. It is not possible in any church to everybody all just say the same thing, to be of the same mind and the same judgment. Why, don't you realize the varied background from which we come? We are of different races. Here we have a sister from Southeast Asia. Here we have a brother from Africa. Here we have someone that is quite well to do. Now, how can they all speak the same thing? Some of them have a lot of education. We have some doctors that are in the audience. We have some school teachers that are in the audience. We have some folks that struggled through school. You know what? We are all to speak the same thing. We are to be of the same mind and of the same judgment. And the way we do that, we're just following the Word of God. Does a question come up about what kind of work the church here is to engage in? Well, we don't look at the churches round about us that have been established by men. We say, no, whatever kind of work they're doing, that's just something that some man thought of. What do? We say, well, let's look diligently at the Word of God. Let's see what kind of work God directs us in doing. And so we're all of the same mind and the same judgment because that's what God says. Well, how are we going to worship? Oh, my, you say, Brother Tope, I have been at churches where they did all kinds of things that they called worship. How are we going to determine how we are to worship? How are we all going to be one so that every single person who, through faith in Christ Jesus, has put on Christ in baptism, how can we all worship together? Had a message from Scott today, and there was some lovely singing in the Zulu language. How many of you speak Zulu? Oh. You know those brethren in Driefontein this morning. They were worshiping about 6 hours ago. They were worshiping the same God of heaven in exactly the same way that we've been worshiping. They sang songs of praises to God. As I say, you may not have understood a single word. They partook of the Lord's Supper. They don't have a lot of money. I don't know whether you really know what poverty is until you go to some of those places in the world. I'll tell you, there are times when those folks do not have the money to buy a loaf of bread. And I'm not kidding. But they give. They give of their money. They pray to the same Heavenly Father. They worship in the same way as we are striving to worship here, because that's what the Word of God teaches. All right. Well, what else? Well, we have to care for each other. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and oh, there are so many good things here in chapter 12. I come down in chapter 12 to verse 25 and 26. Read with me, if you would, that there should be no schism. That means a rent or a tear or a division. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's the way it is to be in this one body. We're to have a genuine care for each other. Our brother Ty has lost a beloved grandfather. How should you feel? Ty and Josie have made a special effort to be here this morning because Ty was scheduled to work. How do you feel about that? Well, the Burdens and the Jim Tope family have just had a grandchild. Well, how do you feel about that? Have the same care one for another. Shed tears. Show sympathy. Show compassion. And rejoice. How do we feel when a brother or sister comes to the front and they say, I've sinned? What do we do? Do we have hatred, antagonism? Or do we greet that one and say, God bless you for your courage of faith. We want to help you. In meekness and fear, I know that I too fail the Lord. Lowly, gentle, and long-suffering are the words of Ephesians 4. And then, very probably, what is more to the point is the passage that is found in the book of James, the 2nd chapter. And that is, we're not to make any distinctions between us. James proposes this situation. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, in fine apparel. And there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. You pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. You say to the poor man, you sit over there, or sit here at the footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? My dear brethren, every single one of you are important. I knew a young lady in Dublin, Ireland, and Brother Steve Kearney, the preacher, told me about the first time that she came to worship before she was a Christian. The closest that I can describe it, and boy, you almost have to be in Dublin to see this. I guess I wouldn't call her a flower child. You talk about technicolor hair. That girl had it. Little purple, little green, little red. Oh, I don't know what all colors that she described. You know, those brethren did not say, you sit at the back, we're not sure that we even want you here. They welcomed her. They said, can we study the Bible with you? They sat down very, very lovingly and patiently, and they taught that girl the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? As she studied the New Testament scriptures, she found out I'm not supposed to have technicolor hair. She found out that her short, immodest skirt was really not the kind of dress that she ought to be wearing. And because she had been baptized into Christ, because she had put on Christ, she changed all of those outward things. What a grave error had the brethren shown partiality toward her. Okay, very quickly now, and we're in good time, I want to tell you that. I hope none of you are getting antsy or anything like that. What's the value? What's the value of being one in Christ Jesus? I think we have already mentioned something, but I want to tell you that that is part of the happiness. That is goodness and the pleasantness of being able to worship where we are all one in Christ Jesus. Do you know where the book of Psalms is found in your Bible? Just turn back about halfway and open it, and probably it will open at the book of Psalms. But Psalm 133 is such a lovely psalm of joy. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The life of the Christian is a life of peace, and it is a life of happiness, and it is a life where we love to meet together in order that we may worship God and give praise to His Son, Jesus Christ. It imitates God further. Whenever we have love, whenever we show love for one another, we are pleasing God as we imitate Him. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 as an example that you can notice. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love one another. Love is of God. Now, what does all of this have to do with our possibly saving our world? Well, there is a further benefit to being one in Christ Jesus. And that benefit is recorded in John, the 17th chapter, as our Father, our Son, Jesus Christ, offers a prayer to God. And this is what He has to say, beginning in John 17 and verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, for the apostles, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. Well, that's us. All right, now Christ is praying for us that they all may be one. As You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I've given them, that they may be one just as We are one, I in them and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. I do not know in my lifetime of a single time when America and the world has been more divided racially. I do not know of a greater time in American history. Maybe I'm forgetting. I do not know of a single time whenever people have been urged to kill our policemen, or for police to act unjustly, brutally, in killing people because of their race. How are we going to deal with racism here in metropolitan Richmond? What are we to do? Well, I'll tell you one thing that you can do and that I can do, and I hope that we will all do. Whenever you're talking with people and they are talking about a certain race and they're putting them down and they are stirring up hatred, or if they say, "You ought to come to our church because we're all black," or "You ought to come to our church because we're all white and we don't want anybody else," say, "I'd like for you to come to Courthouse. I'd like for you to meet Leon and Sonia. I'd like for you to meet CJ. I want you to meet the Zimmers." They say, "Boy, what a strange name that is." All right. All right. Hey, you see what we are? We are proof positive that people can be one in Christ Jesus. So what do we do? Well, we do just like that fellow did when he first met Christ. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see a group of people of varied social backgrounds, of varied races, and there they are worshiping God together. Final admonition and conclusion. Let's all be one in Christ Jesus. Let's continue that. This is something you can do in your personal lives now, out there in the world. Don't promote racism. Don't do that. Do not take part in any demonstration. Now you may say, well, Brother Tobe, I have conviction. Yes, all of us should have conviction. But you know, every demonstration, one way or another, gets out of hands. There are folks that are there promoting it that do not have the love of Christ. Do not promote racism or division on the internet. Be careful what you say on Facebook. Whenever you are talking with your brothers and sisters in Christ, show the same care for each other. Now, finally, you know what this all comes down to? There are some of you in the audience that are not yet in the one body. We first of all have in mind the salvation of your soul. Oh, you say, Brother Tope, I'm religious. I have been this or that from childhood. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about doing the very things that our text told us in the beginning. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have this wonderful unity and fellowship that the Bible talks about? Brother Foy is going to lead us in a song. That's to give anyone in the audience an opportunity to come to the front and make a public confession that they do believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's important, for the Bible declares it to be. To be baptized in order that you can put on Christ and be a part of the one body. And then for our brothers and sisters that have sinned publicly and they have fallen away and they're in disfavor with the Lord, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The invitation is yours. Richard, would you please lead us?